multiple organizations with a market cap at the time of $220 billion and no fewer than 300,000 employees. So what was I doing there at GE in the summer of 2012? I'm not a corporate executive. My background is not in energy or healthcare or any of GE's myriad industrial businesses. I am an entrepreneur. GE Chairman and CEO Jeffrey Immelt and Vice Chair Beth Comstock had invited me to Crotonville, New York that day because they were intrigued by an idea proposed in my first book, The Lean Startup, that the principles of entrepreneurial management could be applied in any industry, size of company, or sector of the economy. And they believed their company needed to start working according to those principles. The goal was to set GE on a path for growth and adaptability, and for Immelt to leave a legacy that would allow the company to flourish long term. That day, we took a fresh look at the plan for the Series X engine and realized that it could get to market radically faster by building a simpler engine in a matter of months, not years. It was the first of many such sessions, some of which you'll hear more about. The next day, I had a conversation that seemed, on its surface, very different. It was with the founder and CEO of one of the next generation of hypergrowth tech startups. The two companies couldn't be much more different. One old and one new, one the market leader in many of the businesses it's in, the other fighting to get traction. One building massive physical products, the other building the kind of software infrastructure that powers the internet. One East Coast, one West Coast. One where executives wear suits and the other where they wear ripped jeans. The CEO of this company, an early adopter of the Lean Startup, was confronting a new set of challenges. How could they scale beyond their first successful innovation? How could they empower their employees to think like entrepreneurs? And most of all, how could they find new sources of sustainable growth? I was stunned by how, despite all the surface differences, these two conversations were surprisingly similar. GE, like many successful companies, was looking to reinvigorate its culture with entrepreneurial energy so it could continue to grow. The startup I'd met with that afternoon was trying to figure out how to maintain its entrepreneurial culture as it grew up. Over the past few years, I've had many such moments when I've been struck by the parallel challenges faced by organizations we typically think of as very different. Out of these conversations with leaders and founders, I have come to realize that today's organizations, both established and emerging, are missing capabilities that are needed for every organization to thrive in the century ahead. The ability to experiment rapidly with new products and new business models, the ability to empower their most creative people, and the ability to engage again and again in an innovation process and manage it with rigor and accountability so that they can unlock new sources of growth and productivity. That process, and how to take it from missing to thriving in any company or organization, is the focus of this book. Who am I? My journey to that meeting in Crotonville was an unlikely, not to mention unexpected one. Early in my career, I trained as a software engineer, after which I became an entrepreneur. If you've ever pictured a stereotypical tech entrepreneur as a kid, laboring away in their parents' basement, well, that was me. My first foray into entrepreneurship during the dot-com bubble was an abject failure. My first published writing, 1996's scintillating The Black Art of Java Game Programming, is, last time I checked, available used on Amazon.com for 99 cents. None of these projects seemed, at the time, like harbingers of the future years that would be spent advocating for a new system of management. After I moved to Silicon Valley, though, I started to see patterns in what was driving both successes and failures. And along the way, I started to formulate a model for how to make the practice of entrepreneurship more rigorous. Then I began writing about it, first online beginning in 2008, and then in a book, The Lean Startup, published in 2011. What happened from there exceeded my wildest expectations. The Lean Startup movement spread worldwide. More than 1 million people around the world read the book. Odds are, no matter where on the globe you are right now, there's a local Lean Startup meetup group nearby. Thousands of founders, investors, and others in the startup ecosystem rallied to embrace the ideas and practices of Lean Startup. In the book, I made a claim that seemed radical at the time. I argued that a startup should be properly understood as a human institution designed to create a new product or service